What's up, guys? What's going on? I'm Paul. This is Pauline Theology's Daily Devotional with Trust in Jesus Ministries. Man, we are glad that you are here, and we are going through Genesis 38, 20 through 26. This is still a continuation in the story of Judah. If you haven't been going through with us here, and this is your first episode, then we've been talking about Judah and Tamar. It's a kind of a break in between the Joseph saga. So stick with us. We got this episode and next episode, and then we'll be back in Joseph. So check out those episodes as well, man. And if you enjoy, if this is not your first time and you've been here quite before, man, and you enjoy these episodes, growing in Christ, reading the scriptures, and it's helping you trust in Jesus, man, share this video or share the playlist or share the podcast, however you're listening, or if you're watching on YouTube, give us a thumbs up, a like. That really helps out the channel. Subscribe if you haven't subscribed yet, man. Or I'm not sure what they call it whenever you do. Oh, I think you subscribe in podcasts too. Yeah, so if you're on the podcast, subscribe. Or go down and give us a review, you know, some stars, or even write something, man. That really helps out the channel. So I appreciate you guys for that. We also have a website, trustinjesusministries.com, that we have more content. I write a blog every Friday. It comes out. And so you can check that out as well, man. But anyway, let's get back to the story. If you haven't read Genesis 38, 20 through 26, stop the tape, check it out, see what it has to say, and then come back and we'll answer the four questions. If you have, we'll go ahead and jump on into it. The first question is always, the first question is, what's happening? You got to know what's going on, be able to decipher how you can break it down and use it in our daily lives. So we got to know what's going on in the story. What's happening in the story? Well, we find that Judah, once he gets back to the shearer's place, or not back to the shearer's place, he sends that sheep by his buddy, the Dulamite. And the Dulamite goes up and looks for her, and he can't find her. And then he asks the people, he's like, hey, where's that temple prostitute that was hanging around in between the cities of, they were like, what you talking about? They ain't no temple prostitute. And then so he just goes back to Judah's like, man, they said there wasn't no temple prostitute there, man. He said, nobody, what you talking about? And he was like, oh no. He's like, man, well, she can have that stuff. He's like, you saw me take the stuff up there. So I did my duty. I did my duty, brother. So it ain't my fault. You know, he just said, forget about the stuff. Well, 3 months pass, man. And they find out that Tamar's pregnant, man. He gets word to Judah. And so he's mad, hot. He get up and he's like, man, he's like, take that woman, man, and send her on the fire, man. Burn her. And so as everybody was grabbing her, taking her to the fire to burn her because of her adultery. And not only was it adultery, that's like, it's by harlotry. She was a prostitute. And that not only was she found prostituting, but she got pregnant by that prostitution, man. And so while she was headed on the way out, she was like, hey, the person who got me pregnant has these emblems. And she sent them. Adam sent to Judah. And Judah saw him. He's like, oh, my dang. He's like, that was that girl, bro. He's like, she's more righteous than me, because he knew the thing that, I mean, he already knew. He was like, she set me up, man, did all that stuff because I wouldn't give her my son who was promised to her so that she could actually do the thing that she was trying to do with me. And he's like, she's more righteous than I, man. He's like, I got to get it to her, bro. Yeah, she's all good. Let her go, man. And then it says that he never slept with her again. So what is this saying about God? Well, it's very difficult actually to try and find something in this narrative about God. But and so I want to remind you before I go into it is that, man, if you can't find a characteristic of God while you're reading a passage, man, go ahead and just move on to what's it say about man, or try and just understand what's happening in the story. If you could just try and gather one from the four, then you're doing good. Trust me, because a lot of people aren't even reading. And so if you could just gather one from the four, figure out what's going on, maybe a characteristic of God. If you can't find that, maybe a characteristic of a man, then you're doing good. And so for me, it was difficult, too, to find something about God. But I just remember the overarching story of what's going on and the faithfulness that God is doing. Plus, I also know what's about to happen in the next couple of verses, and we're going to see, which I've alluded to, that the lineage of Jesus comes from Tamar. And so I just wanted to remind myself of the faithfulness of God as he's moving towards his promises in some, I would say, very odd ways, through the sins of others, through the deception of others. But still, God, in those things and despite those things, can make good, matter of fact, the greatest good happen, which is the birth of Jesus and our salvation through his death and his resurrection. What's this say about man? Is repentance and recognition of wrong is key. It's important, man, because when Judah realizes what he had done was wrong, he immediately repented and vindicated the one who was accused. He knew that he was wrong and he didn't want others to suffer for it, but he also had a change of heart. It says that he never knew her again. And so I believe that it is because of the writer writing that thing at the very end that we see his true repentance. Though we also see his true repentance, though, just in exonerating the woman, saying she's more righteous than I. She's more righteous than I. There are all these other books, the intertestamental period, pseudepigraphas and all that jazz, that give a little bit more detail and talk about it. And they say that in deep repentance, he was broken for the thing that he had done. And so is that true or not? Nah, you know, it's lore, or it's the stories that the Jewish people hold dear. But we do see it in the scriptures. We see that he has repented. And so how can we apply these truths to our lives, man? Well, take a look at your life. Take a look at your actions. Take a look at all the things that's been going on. Have you wronged anyone? Have you treated someone unfairly or poorly? Have you judged somebody by or misjudged them, their character, by some of the deeds that they do? Have you seen and looked into their heart? If you have done this in any way, man, seek repentance. Go out and vindicate those who you have offended in front of others. That's what Judah did. It wasn't behind closed doors. He made it known publicly that he had done something wrong, and he let others know the righteousness of the one whom he offended. Now, two wrongs don't make a right, like my mama says, man. But it is true that we do help others in a bad sense to commit sins because of the things or the wrongs that we cast against them. And that's what happened here. If Judah would have just done what he had said he was going to do, then she wouldn't have done that, because she did it out of the duty to her belated husband. Not to say that she was right in the sin that she committed, but we do aid in others' wrongness. And I pray that we never do that. So go out, seek repentance for that person, and then don't aid in another person's wrong. That's an application I just thought about right now as I've been going through this in my mind with you guys, is that, man, I don't want to be a person that causes another one to stumble. And that's what Judah did by the way he acted towards Tamar. Is in his actions, he caused another person to stumble. So let's not do that, man. May that be an application today. Hey, I appreciate you guys for listening, and I will see you in the next episode.